Here's Steve Simmons of Sun Media, and of course here on TSN. What's up, Steve?
Well, I'm kind of sad today.
Why is that?
Why?
To be perfectly note, to be honest.
What's up, pal? Let us cheer you up.
No one has ever offered to pay $38 million for me to go away.
I wish.
And I imagine Jeff would be thinking exactly the same way that I am. My God, how did we miss out on this?
I don't know, Steve. It was like just to... It's not even to play either. It's not even to do something. It's just to go away.
Leave me alone.
But, here's Steve, you got to admit, like, isn't it the right move? I mean, you can't have guys around that are saying they can play and they're just, they're done. And it's like the Leafs have proved it. You just make problems go away.
Well, to me, it is the right move. It's a bit of Shanna plan, like, if you look at it that way, with different moving parts, of course. But it's, if you're going to start over with a new manager and a new star and a new hope and building blocks for the future, then you don't want the old parts that don't fit anymore. You can't race the car with the old car. And so in Tulowitzki's case, he had nothing left. And they knew he had nothing left. And they even talked about this. Ross Atkins talked about this last week a little bit. I thought they might bring him to training camp, and I thought they might, you know, sort of look at him and see if there was anything worth salvaging here. And I think they looked and they saw, and they decided there wasn't. And unfortunately, the price of doing business is the contract that they inherited says they now have to pay this guy $38 million over the next two and some years to probably go and be a backup somewhere else for like $1 million or $500,000 or whatever the baseball minimum is.
How would this come about? Did they like take a look at him? Did they see him, like, I don't know, working out, or how did this come about?
They've been in contact all off season. You know, each time Troy went to another level or went, you know, he would talk to them. They were in contact all the way through. So they must have had their scouts or their management people went out and saw him working out with whomever he was doing his off season workouts with. One thing I can tell you about Troy Tulowitzki, he's one of the most serious, determined, hard working athletes I've ever been around. He's very, very punctual about how he does his workouts and what his workouts are and what they entail. And he's very individualistic about them. And he takes his job extraordinarily seriously. So he was attempting to come back. They went and saw him. I know because Ross Atkins referenced last week, I think he saw him or spoke to him within the few days prior to him meeting the baseball writers. And it was clear, or seemed clear to me in Ross's talking, that Troy had no chance of playing shortstop for the Blue Jays this coming season, and I wasn't sure that they would be willing, or he would be willing, to be the backup in that situation.
Yeah, I think he was working out with Santa Clara, his alma mater, and he had already definitively gone on the record, I believe, as saying, I'm playing short or nothing else.
Yeah, that was late September, so, showed up and said that.
Yeah.
So I think is pretty rich, considering what you said, Steve, the idea that he's going to sign somewhere else, and he's probably going to accept, okay, now I'm a utility guy. Play me wherever you feel you want to play me. Yeah. I'm sure the Jays are like, wait a minute. You dropped the mic in September. You said you'll only play here when we owe you $38 million, and we've made your life, you know,
but what I don't
very,
agree with,
very
what,
nice and
I
very
don't agree
reasonable.
With what Dutch is saying, guys, where him saying I'm only playing short is to his advantage. That's not to his advantage.
He wants out, I think. I think that was also him saying, I'm not,
oh, for sure.
Like, I have no interest in a rebuild. Which, again, is rich for a guy who's going to get paid $38
million. Well, if that was his goal, go. You got your money.
You
so go ahead
now.
And go somewhere else and
it's
do whatever you're going to do.
It's a perfect scenario for Troy Tulowitzki.
Well, there may not be a place he can play. Understand that. And the one thing that Troy Tulowitzki has been for, I would say, almost all of his career, except for the last year playing regularly in Toronto, is he was a brilliant defensive shortstop. He's one of the best I've ever seen. One of the best throwers, frankly, I've ever seen. Very unusual style, but really, really good in the field. Offensively, he was great in Colorado and never really brought that to Toronto the same way. He didn't have the same level of consistency in his hitting, although he had some very big hits playoff-wise for the Jays, some really important ones. And so the guy that they traded for, even though that was the day everything changed, never really showed up the guy they expected him to be, the guy that was in Colorado all those years, you know, possible or was on his way to being a Hall of Fame player. You know, obviously the last few years are a setback that way, but we're talking about, you know, a defensively brilliant shortstop, a guy who, you know, was usually in the upper echelon of offensive infielders, could do a little bit of everything, and a real leader and a real serious guy. But, you know, sometimes when you're that guy, you can't be a backup. You can't be a second string guy. You've got to be the guy. And when you don't know how to be that, and I'm sure Jeff's played with those kind of guys, they have to be the first liner. They can't play on the fourth line. And I think Tulowitzki was one of those guys. He needed to be batting 3, 4, or 5. He needed to be the shortstop. He needed to be knowing he was penciled in every day. And I guess they decided that they didn't want him to be around to tutor Lourdes Gurriel, if you want to call it that. They didn't see him in that way. Just like Shanahan didn't see Phil Kessel being, he couldn't have Phil Kessel here to do the rebuild the Leafs were talking about doing. They didn't want any part of him in that. You know, this is different because Kessel was still on top of his game, but it's different now because Tulowitzki may not have any game left.
With Steve Simmons from Sun Media and a prominent voter on the Lou Marsh year in, year out. And that announcement came down today. Canada's top athlete of 2018, courtesy of the Lou Marsh Award. Mikhail Kingsbury, who won gold at the Pyeongchang Olympics. He's a mogul skier. He was very, very successful this year in the World Cup circuit, of which I'm not familiar with at all. I mean, I don't pretend to be.
That's why we don't vote.
Yeah. Well, listen, I don't think Steve's necessarily cruising around the world following mogul skiing either. But explain what went down in the room and why it came to this conclusion.
Well, first of all, you don't ever know why it comes to a conclusion because it's single vote and it's privately done by ballots. So you vote for a winner at the end. You go through a process of talking about athletes and nominating athletes and then getting down to a group of final five and then voting for one of the five. And when it came down, what I always look for is, are you the best in the world at what you do? How good are you in the world compared to other people? Where do you rank in that way? And so you get guys who are very successful in their own sports and maybe not in the world, for example. You know, a guy who wasn't in the final five, Brad Sinopoli, I think set records for most yards by a Canadian in the CFL for a receiver. So his name would have come up and it didn't get much play and we moved on to the next thing. To me, it was a two-man race, although, you know, at least the way I
looked at it. Please tell me one of them was a woman.
No, one of them, for me, I'm talking me only. I'm not talking about anybody else in the room. For me, it was a two-man race. And the two men were Michael Kingsbury and Connor McDavid. Because they are the best in the world at what they do. And that's why I looked at those two ahead of everyone else. If you're going to vote for story of the year, then you vote for Brooke Henderson.
Yeah, but these two have been giving her a lot of love. Dutchie, okay, and all that. She would have got their votes.
Okay, well, let me explain why I wouldn't vote for her. There's five major tournaments on the LPGA Tour, just like there are the four majors on the men's tour. In the five major tournaments, she finished 48th, withdrew 10th, 9th, and tied for 6th. So in the biggest events in her sport, she wasn't near best in the world.
She's in the running. She's like 6th.
Yeah.
You know how
in one of five. Okay.
I'll let you finish.
Let me just finish. In the tournament, she finished 6th. She was close to the lead after 3 rounds, and I think shot 74 in the final round. Where I think the winner shot 66. So she was like blown away in the final round.
I think and Darren are both. We saw that Canadian Open win, and that caught our heart, and we were like, you got us, and absolutely. That's why we don't vote.
And I would go with degree of difficulty. If you're going to go based upon that criteria of are you the best in the world, but if you and I are the only two checker players in the world, and I'm the best player, that doesn't make me the best. That makes me one of two. Whereas okay, with Brooke Henderson, golf is a completely global game, as opposed absolutely. To moguls. This is my point. You would have to be, and even with the Connor thing, you know, we are the greatest hockey-playing nation in the world, and we covet it, we protect it like it's a small child. But even hockey, when you take a look at the number of people that play hockey around the world, as opposed to the number of people that play golf, the PGA Tour is the best of the best. The LPGA Tour is the best. It is so hard
to win. Wait, I got to interrupt you.
Let him go.
Go ahead,
I have
Steve.
To interrupt you here on the LPGA Tour, because the LPGA Tour is primarily a one-country pursuit. And you look at the leaderboards every single week, and it's the same country, and it's the same golfers, and it's the same five or six women. So to say it's a world sport, I could argue that there are more people participating in mogul skiing around the world than there are finishing top 10 on the LPGA Tour.
I would no. What country are you saying? The States? Or are you saying that it's Asian countries?
If you don't know what country, then you don't know what you're talking about.
What are you
it's
saying?
The most obvious question in the world.
But there's a lot of Koreans. There's a lot of Japanese. There's a lot of Americans.
No. There's all. It is
Chinese.
So Korean. It is so Korean dominated. There's not even any other country that compares. Come on now, be real. It's like saying Canadians aren't among the best hockey players in the world. They are. But here's why I backed McDavid. In the calendar year, he played 74 games and scored 1.4 points per game. That's 114 point pace, I believe, on an 82 game season. That's the highest scoring for an NHL forward since 2007. When Sidney Crosby led the league in scoring. And if you look at that now, guess who won the Lou Marsh in 2007?
Was it
Sidney? Sidney Crosby. So for me, that's why, to me, it was a two-person race. The other, you know, if you look around, there was a lot of good people who did very, very well in their sports and didn't make it to the final five. There was a speed skater from Canada who won gold and I think silver at the Olympics who didn't get nominated. Blauman, he won two medals, didn't get to the final five. I nominated Marc-Andre Fleury who played 87 games in goal for Las Vegas in the calendar year, had 13 shutouts, had 59 wins, and he didn't get it to the final five. You know, so there's a lot you can go through. There's a lot of people who did not get any kind of attention at all. And again, not knowing the final vote because they don't tell us. It's always hard to think. One other point today, and today was probably my least favorite Lou Marsh meeting ever, because we spent most of an hour and some debating whether Tessa Virtue and Scott Moir as a pair could be nominated as an individual. And a lot of people backed Moir and Virtue.
They're not an individual.
Yeah, that's like the horse that is up for the best athlete in the world.
But it's a horse. But Sally and Peltier have won before, just to give...
Well, it doesn't really matter. It's a manufactured award anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, ultimately, it doesn't really matter.
But it took what that hour took away was the normal debate that you would have for anyone that felt really strongly about the athlete they were going to push forward, or on the other side, negatives about maybe someone had a statistic that will say there's only X number of mogul skiers in the world or X number of countries involved. That
by the way, the top.
Pushed.
All right, we got to go here. We got to fly. Steve, we'll do it again soon. Thank you for this.
By the way, can you save the $38 million for me just in case?
We'll try.
Jeff and I will split it.
Yeah. Well, include Dutch and I. Why would you guys get the whole pot?
Well, I don't know.
Come on now.
And go look charitable. Go look at the top money leaders on the LPGA Tour.
All right.
Top 15, but
had to get one more jab.
There's 10 countries in there.
All right. You guys need a podcast so you can yell at each other on it.
All right.
See you, Dutch.
See you, pal.
See you, Steve. There's Steve Simmons of Sun Media.